This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org. Now, here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Learning to walk again. I believe I've waited long enough. Where do I begin? Learning to talk again. Can't you see I've waited long enough? Where do I begin?
Hockey is back. Finally, training camp is over. And the regular season is just a couple of days away as we get ready to get back at it. Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott, and I want to tell you about my fine friends at Telhio before I even get going into this, because it's a Monday mailbag edition. I've got a lot of questions that are coming from you. I'm going to get those answers to you. But first things first, Telhio. If it's not for them, I'm not talking to you. And Telhio has plenty of things for you, like checking accounts, but not just regular checking accounts, by the way. They go above and beyond when it comes to checking. They have checking that protects. Yes, checking that protects includes things like roadside assistance. It's true. All you have to do is go to telhio.org and look it up right there. Also, maybe you've got a small business, you need a loan. Telhio is where to go. Business loans, they are made easy for you. Just go online, check it out. Those things, many other things. You don't think about your banking very often, right? You don't think about what you need unless you're in dire straits and you need it right now. So whether you're just casually starting to think about things, maybe I'm just getting you to think about your money, or maybe you are in one of those situations where you've got to think about it. Whichever way, telhio.org is where you need to go, because that's where you will find the help for you. So training camp ended yesterday in a weird way, right? The preseason ended in a weird way. The Blue Jackets were supposed to play 7 preseason games. They had played 6. They were supposed to play the St. Louis Blues yesterday, late afternoon, at Nationwide Arena. That never happened. The Blues were unable to get out of St. Louis because of a mechanical problem with their aircraft, so there was no game. Very odd circumstances. Now, yesterday, I know from looking online and reading things on social media, there were people that were upset about that. First of all, you were shocked, right? Never happens. Never, ever happens. You were in shock. And this is why, during the regular season, the team always goes into whatever city it's going to play in next the day before, for this very reason. Because it's an insurance policy. If something happens, you don't want to be stuck and not be able to get to the game. It hardly ever happens. Now, what, in the last couple of years, there have been a couple of snowstorms in the Northeast that the league has postponed games and then come back and played them later in the season. But all in all, that's why you go early, because you never know what might happen. Now, in the preseason, nobody does that. You don't come in the night before. You don't spend the money on hotel rooms. You spend your time practicing at your home rink. You're always bringing a different group to those preseason games. So there's no reason to go in the night before. Well, now, right now you're saying, yeah, I can give you a reason, because there was no game yesterday. And I was thinking about it. That's happened to me a couple of times in my career, not very often. I think that was the third time. It was the third time from what I could recall. And the other two times were in the minors. One time when I was in the East Coast Hockey League in Johnstown. And ironically, it involved Columbus, because we were supposed to play the Columbus Chill on a Friday or Saturday night. And, of course, in that league, you don't fly. You're just busing. And Columbus was busing over the day of the game. And the weather was bad, and there was a lot of ice on Interstate 70. And they couldn't make it all the way into Johnstown for the game. So we waited and waited. We were postponing. They thought they might be able to get moving, but then the highway continued to be shut down. They eventually had to postpone that game and play it later. Then there was another time, and I can't remember what year this is, or was, rather. I was trying to think about this all day yesterday and last night, but I could probably go look it up, but it's not that important. There was one year when I was in Syracuse where we were to play the day after Thanksgiving. We were to play, I believe it was the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, we were supposed to play the day after Thanksgiving. And I had gone home for Thanksgiving. That was a 6-hour drive. So I made sure that I got back there. I got up early on Friday morning, got in the car, 6 hours all the way back up to Syracuse in late November is a chore in and of itself, by the way. But anyway, I got there and went to the rink, and there it was the weirdest thing. So what had happened was, with Thanksgiving being a holiday and nobody was at the building, nobody from the county was at the building, somebody inadvertently either shut off or forgot to check the ice-making system, whatever case that was, I don't remember. But I can tell you this, the ice-making system shut down. So the ice, through that whole holiday, was melting, and nobody knew it until Friday when they went in for the morning skate, and now the ice was soft. And as a matter of fact, they stepped through the ice in a couple of spots. There were actually a couple of holes in the ice, and they spent all day trying to get this remedied and going out with fire extinguishers and spraying it in these holes, trying to freeze it back up and all this stuff. Anyway, they didn't cancel the game until right before game time because they tried all day to make sure the ice was going to be playable, and they thought it would be, and then as it got near game time, it wasn't playable. So those were the only other two times I'd been involved with a team that had had a game that was affected by something from the outside where they just literally didn't play that game. Now, in the other two cases, we played the game at some point. Yesterday, we're not playing that game again because it was a preseason game. And there are two ways to look at that. Now, the way I'm going to look at it is, thank goodness, not another preseason game. I mean, the good thing about the last couple of games is it's more of a full dress lineup and all that. You get to see more of the regular players, see how they interact and all that. But, you know, the preseason after the 2 weeks is like our uncle. Let's just get to it. Let's get to what counts. So from my standpoint, I was not unhappy to get that call and that text yesterday on what was a beautiful summer-like Sunday afternoon in Central Ohio saying, guess what? There's no game. I was more than happy to be at home and not have to go down there and get to enjoy another day before it gets real starting on Friday. But on the other hand, from your standpoint, you were probably mad. Many of you were upset. You wanted to come to that game. You wanted to see that game. You want to see the basic lineup and see how they perform, especially after what happened on Friday night against the New Jersey Devils. You wanted to see that. And I understand that. I get it. And you're absolutely right. And the coaches, I'm sure, wanted to see players play in one more game. And some players that haven't played much in the preseason probably wanted to get one more game under their belts to get tuned up for Toronto on Friday. So I get all of that. Just a weird circumstance, very weird circumstance. It was like the preseason ended and you weren't sure if it was over, right? It was, well, we're supposed to be doing this, but now we're not doing this, but it's still over. But as of today, the mindset shifts and it changes, and the final rosters will be set by tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and you'll know what the team is, and they'll know what the team is, and then as the week goes on, we'll figure out what the lineup's going to be for Friday night, and then get going on Friday, and then right back at it on Saturday in Pittsburgh. So now is when everybody locks in. No matter how the preseason ended, this is how everybody locks in, or this is where everybody locks in. Now, I will say this. The one bad thing about not playing that game yesterday, whether you win or lose that game, if you play it, ending on that sour note, being shut out by New Jersey on Friday night, I don't like that. I don't like that. And I'll tell you what, Corey Schneider was really good in that game. That was the Corey Schneider of old. No matter what the Blue Jackets put on him, he found a way to stop it. So I will give him that. But you've got your lineup in there. You've got a lot of power play time. You come up with zero. Your regular offense at 5-on-5, you come up with zero. You only lose 2-0. You give up 2 goals, but you didn't get any. And, of course, that is a concern for many people going into the regular season, is where is the offensive production going to come from? And when your last game that you play in the preseason, you wind up with zero, that leaves you not feeling too good. But those are preseason games, and that goaltender was really good. And that goaltender is battling because he used to be the starter there, and he might be the starter there, but he's got a young guy pushing him, so he might not be the starter, and he's got to give every great performance that he can and the opportunities that he gets. So you ran into that, and again, he was good. So I'm not saying that it's, you know, really sound the alarm that you got shut out in a preseason game, but there were some elements there that bring concern. And that leads me into your questions that you have sent me on Twitter, at Bobby Mack Sports. And I'll get right to them and go at it right now. Starting with two questions, these are very similar, so I'm going to read them both and then I'll answer them. And the first one is from C. Strait, who says, what's your greatest concern for the Blue Jackets going into the season? Mine is the anemic power play. The other question is from Jay Alexanders, who says, what is your biggest worry for the team this year? For me, it's second line center. Hard to trust Alexander Wenberg after two pretty rough years. Super excited for puck drop on Friday night. So these two questions have a common denominator, and it is Alexander Wenberg. And I have some more Wenberg stuff here later, so I'm not going to get into him specifically. But I understand the concern about him. Actually, so for Jay, when I get to the Wenberg question, I'll have more on that. But again, they are kind of one and the same. The power play and Wenberg. Wenberg in the power play. Alexander Wenberg is going to have to be a bigger part of the power play. He's going to have to not only run it and distribute the puck from the half wall, he's got to shoot the puck. And the power play in general, I understand why there's concern. Because during the preseason, it was still a concern. Emil Bemström scored a power play goal in the first minute of the first preseason game. To me, that was the bright spot of the power play during the preseason. Now, Bemström was banged up and he didn't play against the New Jersey Devils. Would that have been different in the power play chances that they had? I mean, they had, I think it was 0-for-4 they were on the power play, and at two times for spans of 45 and 49 seconds, they had a 5-on-3 and they got nothing out of it. Would his shot make a difference on that power play? I hope so, because it appears as though they're expecting that shot to be there all year. So those, that makes sense, both of those questions. But they're also asking me what is my biggest concern. And quite frankly, despite not getting any goals on Friday, to me, the biggest concern on this team is who is going to stop the puck consistently. Now, I saw very good things out of both guys in training camp, mostly out of Jonas Korpisalo, which makes me feel good because for Jonas, this should be his job. But he doesn't just get it handed to him because somebody else left. He still has to earn it. He's still facing a guy that has a wealth of potential, that has just come into the organization, just come into the league, looking to make a name for himself, all of those things. It's a battle. But I'm glad that when he played during the preseason, that he played the way that he did. I'm glad that he had the showings that he did, because that's the way a guy that's been here for 3 years should look. And if he is going to be the guy that plays most of the time and he's going to make stops, look at the Jersey game. Look at, he stopped a 2-on-0. He stopped a dead-on breakaway by Taylor Hall. He made a great save in the crease, reaching behind him with his stick and keeping the puck out of the net. And the naysayer would come back at me and say, yeah, but Taylor Hall's first goal, the first goal of that game, was one that he probably should have stopped. And maybe you're right, but that's goaltending. That's how it is, right? That there are some days where there are shots that you go, man, should have had that one, and then there's spectacular ones on the other end. Doesn't matter. But that's still my concern. My biggest concern with this team, and it will be until somebody proves me wrong, is the goaltending going to be consistent? That's all. You don't need a superstar like you've had for the past 7 years. You just need good hard work and consistency and good team defense in front of that guy. But that is always, to me, going to be where it goes back to. Who's going to stop the puck? Who's going to score with the puck is concerning too. Don't get me wrong. But to me, you can score 5. If you give up 6, you lose every time. So that's where my biggest concern is. It'll be right there in the blue paint of the crease between the goalposts. And when that is taken care of, I think a lot of things get taken care of. And I hope it's already taken care of, quite honestly. Jeremy G says, what are your thoughts leading into this season? Optimistic, pessimistic, or just here to have fun? Well, I think that optimistic and just here to have fun probably go together, Jeremy, because if you're pessimistic, that's not fun. And if you really think that they're not going to be very good, you're not going to have fun throughout the course of the season. I am optimistic. What I just said about the goaltending is the only thing that is maybe a little bit pessimistic, but I'm optimistic. I think that if you lose the talent that they lost over the summer, and you're talking about only replacing two forwards, that's pretty darn good. That's pretty amazing, quite frankly. Now, one of those forwards you're replacing is an absolute star. There's no question about that. And what we saw on Friday night is Alexander Texier got removed from that spot. We saw him all during the preseason playing with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Cam Atkinson up until the third period on Friday night, and all of a sudden he was playing with Boone Jenner and Josh Anderson, and Nick Foligno was elevated to that top line. And don't forget, John Tortorella went on record before training camp started saying that his intention was to put Foligno on that top line for his experience, for his grittiness, and for the chemistry that he has had with Cam Atkinson. So it didn't surprise me when he went there. Actually, it surprised me that he hadn't gone there in any practices or in any preseason games prior to that. But don't forget, John Tortorella was not on the bench managing the game in the previous preseason games. The only time he was running the bench was on Friday night, and he made that change after 40 minutes. Now, I'm not saying Texier is not going to start on the top line on Friday night, but I'm not saying Nick Foligno is not going to start on the top line on Friday night. But I am optimistic. I want to see. I've been telling people this for months now. I had to think. I almost said weeks, but it's now been months. I just want to see what they become. The goaltender thing, as worrisome as it is also going to be fascinating to watch to see who ends up taking that job. Is it going to be Jonas Korpisalo, or is he going to eventually get passed up by Elvis Merzlikins when Elvis starts to figure things out a little bit better? To me, that's fascinating to watch. I haven't thought about that for years because it was always the same guy and you knew who it was going to be. So that's going to be a fascinating competition. Watching Texier and Bemstrom trying to become a part of this group is going to be fascinating. Watching Sonny Milano to see if he can finally stick in the NHL is going to be fascinating to watch. And there will be other things along the way. Those are the things I know about coming into it. So I'm optimistic. I don't think they're going to be as bad as many people think they're going to be. And with that being said, you look at the first two games, Toronto and Pittsburgh, back-to-back. That's not ideal. It's not ideal by a long shot. So, you know, I don't want you to be panicked. A week from today, if things don't go well, I don't want you to be absolutely panicked and be sending me panic questions. I just want you to step back and breathe and watch them figure it out. They'll figure it out. Now, you hope they do it within the time frame they need to and all that stuff, but they'll figure it out. And that's why I'm optimistic, because I think it's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to watch this from a totally different perspective this year. There is no expectation. Well, let me rephrase that. Yes, we all expect this team to get back to the playoffs. But, you know, last year when you come in with that roster, you know, you expected them to be tremendous. Now, I expect them to be good. I expect them to challenge. I expect them to be in the playoffs. But I'm just watching it a little bit differently. I hope you know what I mean on that. And if you don't know what I mean, just watch it as it develops. And I think over the course of time, you'll get it. You'll get what I'm trying to say to you. Kyle Van Fleet has the Wennberg question. How has Alexander Wennberg looked this preseason? Kyle, I think he's looked pretty good. Okay? Now, fantastic. Ready to take a big step back to where he was 3 years ago. I don't know about that. But he looks better. One of the things that really looks better about Alexander Wennberg is he has shot the puck a lot during this preseason. He has not shied away from putting the puck toward the net and on the net. And that has got to be something that he does day in and day out. We've talked about it. You're probably sick and tired of me talking about it. During games for the last 3 years, I've talked about it. I've asked John Tortorella about it a million times in the past 3 years. He's got to shoot the puck. He's got a great shot. He's got to shoot it. Now, he's playing on a line with Nyquist and Bjorkstrand, and Oliver Bjorkstrand for sure is a shooter. But they're going to, you know how this league works. If everybody has a scouting report that Wennberg and Nyquist are going to do nothing but feed Bjorkstrand and set him up, as great as his shot is, And as much as he can score, they're going to take that away. So somebody else has to produce. Somebody else has got to put the puck in the net on that line. And to me, it's got to be, well, it doesn't have to be. I mean, Nyquist is going to get a share of goals, but Wennberg is always going to be the focus until he turns it around. Until he gets back to where he was a few years ago when he had the 60 points, he's going to be the subject of focus. Even strength, power play, second line center, all that stuff. I mean, we were sitting here 2 years ago, and I was talking about the fact that Alexander Wennberg let Pierre-Luc Dubois take his spot. He was supposed to be the top centerman on this team, and Dubois came in as a rookie and stole that away from him. Now, as I sit here today, there is zero doubt Pierre-Luc Dubois is the top centerman on this team, right? The way he's performed, the way he has grown, he is what they thought he was going to be when they drafted him. But Wennberg never challenged him. He just let him go right by. And to Dubois' credit, he hasn't given that back. Wennberg has got to do the same thing with that second center spot. He's got to lock it down. It is going to be an area of concern if he doesn't do it. It's going to be a weakness if he doesn't do it. Because Boone Jenner's your third line centerman. Is Boone Jenner going to jump up and play second line center? He can, but that means you're not very good. And I don't mean that as a knock on Boone. Ideally, where he slots, if he's playing center, is on the third line. And last year we talked about Riley Nash having an ability to bounce around the lineup, and I'll talk about Riley in a minute. But look, that's got to be Wennberg's job. He has to make it his job, and he has to excel at that job. But how has he looked in the preseason is Kyle's question. And the answer to that is he has looked good. He needs to continue to look good. Brown-Eyed Lauren says, do you think missing out on our final preseason game will have an impact on our first few games? Only in the way of being better rested. Saturday was a day off. Today is a day off. And they didn't have to play a game yesterday, just practice. Listen, these guys are dragging. At the end of this training camp, the amount of skating that goes into a John Tortorella training camp, they are tired. So I think it's nothing but a plus. Is there a chance to get some chemistry issues ironed out with that last preseason game? Yes, and they don't have that. But all in all, by this time, they're ready to play. And I don't think missing that game is going to be a factor whatsoever. Jason Messick says, since the Blue Jackets are number 31 in salary, do you see them still working the phones early in the season for trade partners, or will it be more wait and see for the first few months? They're always going to listen. They're always going to look, Jason. That doesn't mean they're going to get on the phone and make a call. It doesn't mean they're not going to answer the phone if somebody does call. But I think they will start with this group, and they want to see what they have, and they want to see if they need to make an adjustment to it. And if they do, they will. And if they don't, if they have what they think they have in the personnel that is here, then they're going to let it roll. That's what I think. And when you say the first few months, I think if there's an indicator that this is not going to be good enough, it's not going to take months, plural, to do something about it. I think it'll get done sooner than later. Now, that being said, there could be something done by Friday. Who knows? It all depends who's out there, who's looking to move people. There are still teams over the salary cap right now that are looking to move some players. So you never know. But I'm not saying that they're going to be active. I'm going to say that they'll be looking. They'll be watching waiver wires. They'll be, you know, looking at teams that are over the salary cap and who those teams might be moving. But it's not like they're sitting up there in the front office saying, we've got to do something before the season starts. We've got to do something in the first 2 weeks. I think they like this group, and I think they're going to let this group have the opportunity to show them what they can do. And like I said, if it doesn't work or if it's not working, then they're going to have to make tweaks to it. But for now, I think they like it. Jonathan Zygmunt, here's the question about Riley Nash, because Jonathan says, what are the expectations for Riley Nash going into this season? Jonathan, I think they're far less than last year. Last year, we talked about how he can do this, and he did nothing for most of the year, quite frankly. And I don't mean that as a rip on Riley Nash. I think he was confused. I think he didn't know what his role was for most of the year last year. I think he was always trying to adapt, and I think he was even though he's a veteran player and he was coming to his third organization, I think he thought about it too much. I think he worried too much. I think he tried too hard at times. And then late in the season, they found the role for him as the fourth line centerman. And then during the playoffs, he excelled at that role. And then he got hurt, and the Blue Jackets weren't the same after he got hurt. So Riley Nash comes into this camp, and they're saying you're going to center the fourth line. And the beauty about the fourth line now in the NHL is it's not just bangers and crashers. It's not just fighters that can do that, but they can't play the game. It is a scoring line now. It is a line that has to be responsible defensively, and it has to score because you've got to have a four-line attack. So Riley Nash fits right into that. He's a good defensive centerman. He can score. And, again, he's probably going to be playing with some guys that are pretty offensively talented. We saw him in the preseason playing with Emil Bemström and Sonny Milano. If that happens during the regular season, he's playing with some very talented offensive guys. And I think he'll help those guys. And I think he'll make those guys better. So I like where Riley Nash is. I like that they have a role for him. I like that he embraces the role. And I loved him in the playoffs last year, and I like what I've seen of him so far in the preseason this year. Kevin Bailey says, let me preface my question with this statement. I have the utmost confidence in Jonas Korpisalo, but with that being said, what is Elvis Merzlikins' biggest challenge going into his first season in the NHL as a backup goaltender? Will it be adjusting to the smaller rink or the lack of games? It'll be the lack of games. Again, if he is a backup, there is no guarantee that they're not going to split these guys a la the Carolina Hurricanes last year and the New York Islanders last year. Don't just think that because Korpisalo had a better preseason than Merzlikins did, that all of a sudden Korpisalo is going to play 60 games and Elvis is going to play 21 games. Don't think that, because I think it's going to be the better guy who's ever rolling, I think, is going to get it. I think it's going to be definitely going to be a hot hand season, is what I think. Now, for Merzlikins, yes, adjusting to the smaller rank, the angles, have talked about that ad nauseum. To me, that's over. You've done it long enough now. You've played preseason games. You've been in practices. That's enough. That excuse is out the window, okay? Don't forget, the last preseason game Elvis played was his best one, and he looked like an NHL goalie in that one. So, if he is not playing as many games, that will be his biggest challenge because he's used to being the man, okay? And again, you know, these two, and they've got to figure it out because there's no safety net at that position. That's something I neglected to talk about earlier, which is the reason why I still worry about that a little bit more. There's no safety net. There's no veteran goaltender that has played for years in the NHL and had NHL experience, not even in Cleveland. Not even in the minors is there a guy that you can bring up and help out. It's all young. They're all young goalies and inexperienced goalies, quite frankly, all around, up and down. So these guys got to figure it out. But I don't go penciling Merzlikins in to be a backup right off the bat because I think they're both going to play more than you and I think that they are. Christopher Jenkins says, Jacob Lilja or Marco Dano? I would assume that Sonny Milano gets a roster spot due to the fact he has to go through waivers. But with the injury to Dubinsky, would it make sense to keep Lilja potentially on a fourth line with Nash and Bemström, seeing as he has some chemistry with Emil? Well, that's a fair point. They played together in Europe, so they know each other very well. I'll just tell you, your first question, Lilja or Dano, I can answer that very easily. And there are many of you that are going to cringe when I answer it. Lilja. You know, Marco Dano's back. Hey, okay, it's a great story. I don't dislike the kid whatsoever. He had a little stretch here years ago, and many of you fell in love with him. And that's okay. You're a fan. You're allowed to fall in love with him. I watched what happened. There was a time in that span when he was playing so well, he was healthy scratch for three straight games because he wasn't back-checking, and he wasn't doing the defensive part of the game, okay? Everybody forgets about that. You just remember, oh, he was going great. He's playing with Hartnell, and they were scoring. And okay, yeah. That was a long time ago. And he might do it again. And he's here to have the opportunity to do it again. But when he left, he went to Chicago, and then he went to Winnipeg, and then he went to Colorado, and he's played in the minor leagues. And look, Lilja hasn't played a single NHL game. I'll give you that. But I'll tell you the difference between the two during the preseason. Every time Jacob Lilia was dressed, I noticed Jacob Lilia in the games. Whether he was scoring or he wasn't, I noticed him. He would do something that would make him noticeable. Marco Dano? He did have a good play on a Lilia goal in St. Louis. But there were far more noticeable plays to me from number 15 during the preseason than there were from number 56 during the preseason. And again, if Dano were to stick here and he plays well, that's great. That's a bonus. That's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he stinks and he belongs in the minors and doesn't deserve another shot. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just answering the question. Lilia or Dano, from what I saw over the past 2 weeks, I'd take Lilia. Finally, Andy Alfred. Who was your biggest surprise this preseason? Who should we be excited to see this season? And it's good to have you back. Looking forward to hearing you this season. Thank you for that, Andy. I appreciate that. Biggest surprise, I think Lilia is the guy. I didn't know anything about this guy, 26 years old, coming over, saying that, hey, I can play European hockey over here. I think I can play in the NHL. Okay. Knock yourself out, kid. Go for it. Well, he did. That was my biggest surprise. And again, I knew nothing about him. You know, the scouts don't get surprised because they've seen him play. But for me, I was surprised. Who should you be excited to see? I think Texier, I think he's going to be the most exciting guy. I really do. I just, the way he carries himself, what he did last year when he got a chance to play, what he's done during the preseason, you know, save for the third period the other night when he got moved to a different line. I think you should be very excited about seeing him. And if Elvis turns out to be an NHL goalie and a real go-to guy this year, I think you should look forward to seeing that too. Because with the personality that he brings with him, oh, what fun that could be. What fun it could be. Thanks for your questions. I appreciate it, as always. And I'll do it again next Monday. Listen, here's the programming schedule for the week, okay? So you've got to pay close attention to this. It's a big week. It's opening week. Hockey is back, all that stuff. By the way, with the hockey is back, as you're going around town, you're going to see signs this week that hockey is back. That is for sure. Some different things are going to be going on all around town. There are going to be some chances for you to win some things that are coming up. Make sure you go to BlueJackets.com or check the Blue Jackets app for all of those little things that are going to be happening around town that gives you a chance to get something cool and maybe even be there on Friday night when the Blue Jackets take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at 7 o'clock. Our broadcast schedule this week goes like this. Tomorrow, Jody Shelley and I have a season preview show. It'll be at 7 o'clock on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network, 97.1 The Fan. We're going to talk with Zach Werenski about his new contract. We're going to talk with Josh Anderson, who's coming off a 27-goal season last year. We're going to just talk about the team in general, kind of like I did here, but Jody and I will go over it, get his perspective on all of that. That will be tomorrow night, which is Tuesday, October 1st, 7 o'clock, 97.1 The Fan. We'll post it on our CBJ Radio SoundCloud page as a podcast after the fact. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Jody and I are back on The Fan for the Inside Edge in the regular spot on Wednesday evenings. And then, of course, on Friday, it'll be the Blue Jackets and the Toronto Maple Leafs, 7 o'clock puck drop at Nationwide Arena. All the festivities start outside at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with the Plaza Party. The players will walk the blue carpet into the arena. All of that on Friday. A huge week. Absolutely huge week. Oh, and by the way, I'll have another CBJ and 30 for you on Friday, getting ready for Friday night's game, too, because we go to the two times a week. But so we've got two CBJ and 30s. We've got a season preview show on Tuesday. We've got the Inside Edge on Wednesday. There's going to be plenty for you there. And if there's not enough there and you need something else, you can always send me a tweet at Bobby Mac Sports. That's going to do it for today's edition of CBJ and 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Until next time, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.